Alrighty, let's see. Dennis, will you pray for us? Amen. Whoops. Okay. We are going to go over how to maintain a victorious Christian life. How do we maintain one? We've seen a lot how we can get there. Actually, back up. We've seen what can hinder a peaceful, loving life. We've seen what can hinder spiritual maturity. We've seen what can hinder that. And we've talked about different ways to approach that and get victory. We saw how we can get victory with forgiveness or dealing with different types of sins. Now, how do we maintain it? So if I was to teach someone, hey, this is your past, we broke free from these sins, whether it's bitterness, resentment, anger, covetousness, idolatry, whatever it is. Now, how do we go forward? When I say maintain, it's an onward and upward. How do we maintain that? What are your guys' thoughts?
You've got to be daily in the Word.
Daily in the Word? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Daily in the Word. Yep, absolutely. What else?
Be in a fellowship like this where you can interact with one another.
Absolutely.
Build time for somebody else has to say.
You got two of my six already. Good job, Don. we're hitting home runs right now. I like it.
I have to talk to him every day and realign myself.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
What was the third one?
Prayer.
Prayer.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say prayer. That's mm-hmm. What you said, what I heard, I said prayer.
Yeah.
Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Okay.
I think also we need to keep a short account with the Lord.
Yep, got that down. Good job.
What's a short account?
You want to explain your thought process?
Yes. When the Lord convicts you of something that you repent and stop, or the other way around, conviction is something should be doing, that you repent and you go ahead and do it. Rather than saying, oh, just one more, you know, or one more time, because then you get hard-hearted.
Right. Yeah, so as soon as you sin, confess it, and don't make a place for the devil. Okay. Confess, move forward. Confess, move forward. Okay. So short account with God like that. Yep. Excellent. What are other thoughts?
Get lazy, keep doing good works or using your spiritual gifts.
Yep. What got you here won't keep you here. Don't be lazy. What got you here won't keep you here. You have to, you know what? Well, I'm going to try to use some modern terms. I'm going to use some modern terms to help us. Advanced people. have mastered the basics, and they always do the basics. Whether it's business, just so you guys know, this is the best audience for me to work on to try and apply 2,000-year-old scripture with today. All right, so I'm going to work on that right now. So you guys have helped me and critique me. I'm up for it. So I like to do context, history, culture at that time. And one of my not so strong areas is seeing how do we apply this to today? What will this look like today? So I'm going to try and use up-to-date language and different things, and I'll show you how it connects. All right, so advanced people master the basics and always do the basics. Everything, always. Spiritually, a mature believer has mastered the basics and always does the basics. So, going back to Carol's point, to bring this full circle, I got to keep growing. I always do what I know. I'm always doing the basics and fundamentals, but I'm advancing those also. I'm adding more and more and more and more and more. I'm always adding more. Okay? Any questions on this principle, this thought process? Does it make sense? Mm-hmm.
Does it include showing up on time?
No, actually. Okay, it's what you do with the time when you show up.
Because
you can be here on time and blank out.
We went from living furthest away to being closest, and I'm still late.
Yep, that's right. We're going to look at 3 points here. Volume, skill, and time. I'm going out of my comfort zone to teach like this, so I'm going to try and do a decent job for you, okay? Now, we're talking about how do we help someone, how do we teach someone to maintain a victorious Christian life? Okay, that's the principle. We've been on spiritual warfare. We've talked about what causes spiritual warfare. We've talked about what spiritual warfare is, what it's not. We've talked about what hinders people from growing and moving forward, how Satan can go through sin, past trauma, different experiences, right? We know that the battle's in the mind, okay? We know that Satan's battle is to try and control this guy right here, the heart, the mind. We know that his three main lies in satanic warfare right now are lies to you about God, lies to you about others, and lies to you about yourself. Now, how do we talked about how to get free with forgiveness and guiding and counseling. We've had great discussions, by the way, on Tuesday night with practical life application on that. You guys have done a really good job with that. How do I help someone go forward? Okay. So we had Bible, prayer, short account. What was the other ones?
Fellowship,
thank you. Anything else?
The don't be lazy.
Yep.
Yeah, don't rest on your laurels.
No. Lazy. No lazy. That's the Greek, by the way. No lazy. Okay. I'm going to apply these three principles. You ready? It has taken many of us years here in my thought process, years, to develop a way of thinking, a way of living, a way of values, a way of all those things, right? What I hold to be true, my natural reactions. When we have these, I need to have a lot of volume, a lot of Bible reading, prayer, short account, fellowship, no laziness. I can expect, and we have to help our fellow believers, they cannot expect to change overnight. You are now on a lifelong journey. That's why the new fad last 15 years is they're not saying diet. There are no diets anymore. It's a life change, which is true. You're changing your lifestyle, right? It's not a fad or a diet or a quick fix. There is none of that. The spiritual maturity is the same way. You are now on a lifelong journey. We need lots of volume. So you need years of Bible, prayer, short account, fellowship, not being lazy. You need years of that, my friend. After 3 to 5 years, let's just use a number. After 3 years, let's see where we're at. Let's see where we're at. We sometimes want to do really quick, hey, let's see how we are a month from now, 2 months from now. And those are good. We want to see small progress. But when I journal, I look back at my whole year of journaling to see how God's led me. I look back at my whole year to see how God's guided me. A year, 12 months, to see, how you were guiding me. That's how you were growing me. That's what you were seeing me through. Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
I just had a question. Hmm? That's short accountability, right?
Yep, with God. So when I sin, I confess my sin right away. I don't let it stew there and, you know, say, well, you know, I'm justified. I justify my sin, you know, and I keep on going with more and more sin and more and more stuff like that.
Yep. Okay.
Are we doing good so far? Is this making sense? Okay, lots of volume. Now, when I say volume, I'm not saying a verse a day. I'm not talking about, you know, a devotional. If you think that's going to get you somewhere in a month, you're wrong. You're wrong. You had years of all day. Years of all day. Your heart being focused on something. You now need years, maybe, to focus on what the Bible has taught you. We're going to look at some things coming up. There are several groups that Paul wrote to. I'm going to use Peter also, okay? Because Peter has some fantastic things to believers also. If we were to look, if you guys were to read the New Testament, I say New Testament, you know, pretty much Paul and Peter's, you know, writings, Jude, James, John. And if you were to summarize, hey, here's the handful of things they keep repeating. What's repeated in all their letters? I'm going to show you some things. That's high volume. Things that are repeated over and over and over to different groups of people at different places. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So these things are important. High volume. Things that are repeated over and over and over. Okay? I have to do that same thing. So what I have, before I move on, one of the first steps I need to do or teach my discipler or the person I'm helping, whatever you want to call them, okay, your friend you're helping, number one, take every thought captive. Start there. You have to take every thought captive. Why? That's where the war is. The war is over your mind. Because wrong thoughts on wrong teachings will lead to wrong behavior. Wrong thoughts on wrong teachings will lead to wrong behavior. And I say teachings, lies. Lies about God, you, and others. Right? So it has to start there. I'm going to take that thought captive. Boom! Just like Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm taking that thought and I'm saying, does this line up with God's word? Is this true? Is it virtuous? Is it honorable? Does this reflect who I really am in Christ? Right? I'm taking that thought captive, and I'm saying, how does this, with what I'm thinking, what does this do with the word of God, with what I know? And I have got to start having high volumes of good Bible verses, right, to go, well, that contradicts this verse, so I have to cast it out. I can't let it take root. Am I making sense? You guys understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. All right? So I need high volume. High volume of Bible reading. I need to pray all the time. I'm always praying, right? I got to teach them how to pray. I'm taking that thought captive on the Bible verses that I know, and I'm going over it and over it and over it and over it. Constantly. Okay, prayer. I'm always praying. As soon as I sin, I confess my sin right now. Oh, man, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. Forgive me. I know in my position, Lord, I have victory over that sin I just committed. Seriously, I'm sorry. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for not holding the sin I just did over my head, and you desire me to be fruitful and move forward. Okay, fellowship. I got to be around people that think like me. I got to be around people that are going where I'm going and doing what I'm doing. The same vision that I have. The higher volume, the more time I'm spending around people that talk like I want to talk. Sometimes what happens is we fall back on nice people. I talk about the world. But they're nice. They go to church. They love God. Really? In the amount of volume of time you spent with them, how much of that high volume of time has been talked about God? Or salvation? Or answers to prayer? Or blessings? Or Bible verses? So, you see what I'm getting at? So how far or how quick or how in depth do I want to take my Christian life seriously? So when I'm bringing someone to victory in Christ, I'm saying, hey, it's a lifelong journey. You have got to start with taking every thought captive, and you need to do that all the time. Will it ever stop? Probably not. But you know how to fight. You've had all this evidence built up, so it doesn't bother you anymore. You're not bothered or burdened down or like, seriously? This is the 20th time today Satan tried to tempt me with this. Now it's happening so quick and so much, it's just part of life. It doesn't dig deep. I don't get focused on it. My focus goes away to what I have, not where it's trying to lead me. All right? High volume, not being lazy. Okay, I can't do that. I'm going to be active all the time. Satan will use your health to keep you down. I have an excuse. I have an excuse because of my health. Now, if you're like Dennis in the hospital, that's one thing. Or Julie with her surgery. I'm talking excuses that we make for ourselves when really it's not really our health. We're just tired and lazy. We're just tired and lazy. See the difference? There's a difference there. One is I have a legitimate... I'm in a hospital bed with an IV in my arm. I've had surgery. You know, I had the flu, right? Like your whole family. Okay, I'm not being extreme. There's legitimate times when, no, I am sick or I am unhealthy. Totally get it. But if everything around me is fine and I just think, well, ... Okay? In that well, there's no high volume being done. Sir?
At the beginning, you said wrong thoughts or behaviors lead to...
You're actually fortunate, Don, so I would say, don't ask me that, because I never remember what I say. Leads to wrong behaviors.
Behavior.
Yeah.
I think it was wrong thoughts on wrong teaching leads to wrong behaviors.
Thank you, Julie. That is true. That is what I said. Like, wrong thoughts on wrong teachings leads to wrong behaviors.
I shortened it to wrong leads to wrong.
Wrong leads to wrong. Yep. Yep.
Is that negative times a negative or positive?
Is that mathematically?
Not mathematically.
Yeah, right, yeah. Mathematically, you're correct, Dennis. And I'll trust you on the math. That's my worst subject.
Jesse, yeah. You had said at the beginning you had 6 ideas of the things. We came up with 5. What was your 6?
All right, let me go through them real quick, because then we can move on to skill and time. Okay, the next one I have is submit ourselves to God. Taking the thought captive, and I'm going to submit before I resist. Okay, I have to submit before I resist. I'm in wrestling now. Okay? So I'm trying to teach these kids, before you shoot a move, before your arms want to go towards someone's legs to get a double leg or a single leg takedown, you got to go down first. Elevation change. You have to go down before you go forward. Down's the first movement. Elevation change before you go. You think I'm going to go like this. Well, he's going to throw his legs back and sprawl, and your head's going to go on the mat and break your nose. Don't do that. Go down, then shoot. Okay? I got to submit before I resist. If I don't submit, like Julie was saying earlier, and I try and resist in my own flesh, I'll justify what I'm doing. I'll think of my own just causes, and I'll start hardening my heart now. Because I'm replacing what I want to be true, what I want to do, over submitting to God. Because God might not be authoring something for me, but if I submit and allow life circumstances to happen, I'll have peace through that life circumstance. But if I resist and fight and say, well, I'm gonna, and I can, and I, that's when the tension comes. That's when I get heart palpitations, high blood pressure, stiff neck, migraine headaches. I'm not resisting. When my thoughts always on something or someone, it's always bringing me down, negative, negative, negative. Can't do that. Stop. Submit. Say, okay, Lord, whatever you want, even if it humbles me. This is the scary part. This is the scary part. You have to be open to be humbled. And being humble can come in many shapes or forms. One aspect is seen in children. You've taught your children a certain way for their whole life. And they do something that goes against their whole life. Even a high volume of teaching a certain way. You're like, what was that? You've never been taught that. We've never shown you that. But they do it. And now it's a big deal because it's the wrong person in town. Just so happens they're a drama king and queen in town, and they're they act like children themselves. It happened to me a year ago, last summer. Very humbling. My child just happened to talk back to the wrong mom. Addison, we've taught you your whole life to never talk back to adults, especially like that. I want to edit this part out, Dennis. What were you thinking? Right heart, but she didn't submit and resist. She said, I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm going to do it my way. And look where it got us. Thankfully, the last 7 years we've lived here, or at the time 6 years we lived here, had evidence to show it's probably a fluke deal and probably won't happen again, but it's still humbling. Still humbling, right? It can show up in any way. It can show up in areas, that's why we can't fight our flesh. It can expose where we're wrong, where I've messed up. And over the years, I've learned to the more and more I do it, the easier it is, and the more and more peace I have, and the more and more I'm looking forward to what I'm gonna learn. I remember I went to the school, I had a presupposition of some things that were being said and done. My behavior was acting on what those presuppositions were. And I go to the teacher or the principal, and she said, well, it's actually not true. Ooh. And here I am teaching lessons on not to do that. Thankfully, it was just between me and her. I didn't go no further than that. But now I have that testimony on, this guy's a pastor leading a church, and he didn't think that through very well. Uh-oh. That's not good. Humbling, isn't it? Other two big ones for me But we have to submit before we resist. I got to change my elevation before I shoot. Okay? Draw nigh unto God. I have that one, which I'll include prayer in that. I'm going to draw nigh unto God. That's I got to stay there. I got to stay close. Stay close to the Lord. Okay? I have the same thing. You know, fellowship, short account, or accountability. Not necessarily an accountability partner, although that can be for some people. Not all. Not all. I have invest in others. I'm going to try and teach someone what I'm learning right away. One of the best ways to learn is to teach someone what you know. Because it'll stick. Because I'm doing it in life experience. It's going from just head knowledge, which is good. We have to have head knowledge. Okay? Propositional knowing in and of itself isn't bad. But I now need to take that and put it into some practice. Okay? I need some participatory knowledge. I got to participate. I got to start doing it. Okay? And then I have my last one here. It's not really biblical or anything, but it's just I'm going to determine to win the overall battle. You can say overall war. We know that we've won because Christ is in us, but I'm going to determine to live to win the overall war every day. I'm determined. Every day I'm just going to be determined to win the overall war every day.
Can you give an example of that one?
Yep, so no matter how many times I think to myself, I have failed, or I you know, we hear the word fall, man, I fell today, or, you know, I sinned, I'm going to keep on going. Just keep on going. Yep, you did, and you corrected it. Nothing you can do about it. Move forward. No matter how hard it seems, no matter what life circumstance comes my way, I'm just going to determine in myself every day, I already have the position of victory, now I want to live that out in my life. I want to prove God right. Okay? So thinking and doing go hand in hand. I can't just know all the right things to do and that's it. I actually have to do all the right things to do as well. Works are involved. That's what James is teaching. Okay? James is teaching. You know, I just can't say. What does it say? I don't have it memorized.
Go be warm and be fed.
What's that?
Go be warm and be fed.
Go be warm and be fed? Let's see. James says in 2:14, what does it profit, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, there you go, Dennis, and yet you give them nothing that the body needs, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But if a man says, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Absolutely. We've got to be doing both, right? And in this perspective of spiritual warfare, the works that I'm doing, okay, are focusing my thoughts on what is right, what is true, what is virtuous. Taking every thought captive, right? I'm not giving in. I'm not stumbling to where I'm defeated. I might stumble, but I confess and I move on. I keep on going. I'm investing in others. I'm constantly praying, okay? And over time, high volume of doing this over and over and over, I'll see the results. I'll see the results. Because Christ tells us what's in the results in the letters. Do these, and it'll lead to this. There's a lot of that in Scripture. Don't do this, because it leads to this. Do this, because it leads to this. But any questions on those points before we move on? Okay, now skill can just be what skill level I'm at, right? Or what skill level is presented, right? So a young believer, we have to know if I'm teaching someone, their skill level is low, really low, right? So I have to match that skill level if I'm helping them to maintain their victorious Christian life. And graciously, I wouldn't say corrected, but encouraged on Sunday by someone in church that said, hey, you did a good job on explaining what not to tell someone to read, but you never actually went far enough and said, what do we teach them to read? Perfect, you're right, I left that out, absolutely, you know? So I am gonna give someone a proper prescription. I'm gonna put them in the right position, right book of the Bible. 1 Thessalonians or Ephesians or Colossians, right? I'm gonna put them in a book that helps them with where we're at today. The closest thing that we have today are 2,000 years old. But the letters are to churches. They're to people that are trying to understand what it means to have Christ in me. That thought process has not changed. It might not be trying to help someone know who they are in Christ over here or what Christ means with salvation and Holy Spirit and trying to pull them from idolatry as far as sacrificing animals and blood and false gods. It might just be the American dream, right? And convincing them that, hey, your job is not who you are, and bring them over to this is who you are in Christ. Or, you know, what your parents told you that you were is not who you are. This is who you are in Christ. That's the closest thing we have are the New Testament letters. Proper skill. They're young. They don't know. They need help. Right? And we have to be honest with ourselves as well. I have to be honest with, hey, what skill level am I really at? What skill level am I really at? I have to be honest. Okay? There's nothing wrong with starting at level one. Everyone has to start there. I know some people, they're good at researching. They get a lot of information, and they know a lot about certain things, but they've never actually done it. Now, those people are good to be around. But sometimes, since they have all the information, they think their skill level is higher than what it is. Just because you watch movies about the military does not mean you know what it's like to fight in a war. Don't tell me what it's like. I know I was there. Right? Oh, I researched the history of this, and don't you know the history of the army? Not really, not very well. Well, man, I know this, and I know that, and this, and that, and blah, 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 blah. Were you enlisted? No. Okie doke. We have nothing in common other than our topics around the military. You never even went through basic training. You never went to AIT. You never were in a war. Your skill level is at a one, practically, even though you think you're higher. No. And that's okay, right? So someone who gets saved, their skill level is low, you will notice in them, it is one of the coolest things to be around. It is one of the most awesome, beautiful things when you're helping someone and the light bulb goes boink. The Holy Spirit just kind of just pulls a layer back and they go, whoa, I get it now. That makes total sense. And you can see in their eyes a flood of other things coming in that now is starting to make sense, right? The puzzle's starting to come together. You can see it get a little bit clearer. You can look in their eyes and you go, whoa, they're getting it. And their mind starts going off somewhere to start connecting all these things. Boop, 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 boop. And you're going, awesome. Awesome. They got it. Skill level number two now. Woo! Which should be celebrated, right? You notice how Paul celebrates? You know, I told you guys on Sunday, there's more progress in right behavior with rewards than there is with punishment. When you read Paul's letters, when you read the letters to the seven churches in Revelation, it always starts out with something good, right? Before John brings the hammer down, or that's actually Christ talking to John, but before Christ brings the hammer down. Hey, you've done well. You started out good. I was reading Revelation in chapter 2 about Thyatira. You had love, you had this, you have that, but you know what? That woman Jezebel is in the church leading people astray. You gotta fix that. But he encourages before he corrects. So what you see in Paul's letters too, hey, you know, it starts his writings, I praise the Lord for A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Now it has been said that, you know, the correction comes. All right, so when we see our people that we're discipling, or even ourselves, okay, when I have an aha moment, the first person I tell is my wife. First person I tell is my spouse. I said, wife, you wouldn't believe if I knew this, I forgot it, and it was reminded to me, or I learned something new today. Check this out. The first person I tell is my wife about something spiritual I learned, or was reminded of, or I saw someone, or I went to someone, or whatever. Share it with others. I talked to Dennis, I talked to Dave, Julie, Don, you guys on Tuesday night. I said, hey, man, I was with someone the other day, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. All right, I learned this. Okay, it's fun to do that. All right, skill level. So again, understanding, all right, what I know and where I want to go. We see in the Bible, Paul knows, when Paul's writing Romans 12, there's a reason why everyone has a gift. Right? To help build up that body and edify in love. Okay? So if I'm kind of weaker in an area or it's not my forte, I have no problem saying, hey, this is what you're good at. Can you help me? Can you help me? Right? We're building each other up, edifying. Different people are at higher skill levels. Okay? And the more and more I mature in Christ, the more and more I'm not proud or arrogant. I have no problem saying, hey, I don't know this very well, but I know you do. Can you tell me? Right? Remember Miss Gail, we're talking about dementia and Alzheimer's stuff. That was foreign to me. I had a church of all young people. The oldest was like in their 50s. We pastored 150 people, and the oldest people were in their 50s. That was just a culture there, right? We had a 24-hour potato factory, a 24-hour prison that was there, and then farmers. That was it. The two 24-hour factories. Requires young people, right? Because the whole kind of shift work. So we had that. When I came here, I'm like, I didn't know anything about that. You gave me two books to read on it, Ms. Gale. Really helped me. You had a higher skill level. It was perfect. It was excellent. Really helped me out. All right, anything else before we move on with skill? This isn't very easy for me, by the way, kind of think of modern language to tie into the Bible.
So this is interesting on the skill level. If you're talking about fellowship, that's where you had talked a few weeks back about how somebody might say, well, I'm not really comfortable around other people, or I'm not really comfortable inviting somebody over or something like that. That would be starting at the beginning level for fellowship, right?
Right. Yeah. Yep. And if you want skill to come up, gotta practice. Gotta practice it. The best way to be hospitable is to practice hospitality, right? The best way to start learning how to encourage someone, just say something nice to somebody. Get it out. Even if it goes nowhere, right? Even if it goes nowhere. Start practicing it. The more and more I practice, the more my skill level will go up. I have to practice it. Practice, experience. I know it, and I start doing it. I gotta practice it. Talk about witnessing. The only way you will get good about witnessing is to witness. Only way you're gonna get good at witnessing is to witness. Again, you talking about Jesus once a month is not high volume. 12 times a year, you're gonna keep fumbling your way through it. I've witnessed, the last 3 years, how many times? Four? Don't judge you witnessing on how good you are by four times in 3 years. Yeah, it's not going to come out that well. That's low volume, right? At a low skill level. Yeah, your expectation should be where it's at. I'm not very good. See, you don't look at the time. That's the wrong evaluation of time. The last 3 years, I've witnessed four times. Okay. So I'm not very good at it, so I'm gonna quit. No. You gotta put more output, more volume, more practice. After 3 years of doing it maybe once a week, now let's talk and see. After 3 years of once a week, Not 3 years of four times in 3 years. See the difference? All right? I tried going to church. How long? 2 months. Oh, man. First of all, church is it's not a shoe. You don't try it on. And if you're going to make a judgment based on, 2 months of going somewhere, not a very good estimate. Right? Have you actually had a meeting with the pastor? No. Oh, even worse. Right? We're making these big judgment decisions on low volume and low skill. Now, time. You guys ready for time? All right, time. How much am I putting into it? How much time? How much effort? If I have a vision of what I want, let's say I want to know more about finances, and someone in our church knows that. If I want to know about finances, they're in our church, what's their names?
Julie and Dave.
Who am I going to go to learn about finances?
Julie and Dave.
Exactly, right? If I want to know about that, I'm saying, hey, I'm going to put some time into being with them, and they're going to help me to understand how much I need to be putting in to grow on my skill level and practice. That's his expertise, Dave and Julia. They're going to tell me, hey, if you want to get to where I'm at, first of all, it takes 4 years of college, or they're gonna do their own thing. Or Dave is very practical. Let's say, you know what, do these three things, and you'll get it in about 6 months. I don't know. I'm speaking for you now, Dave, but the ones that have high skill level and a lot of volume and time in that, that's who I'm going to go to, right? That's who I'm going to go to help me. I'm picking my mentors wisely, right? So if someone's at a base level, okay, we've helped them with forgiveness, they're set free in Christ, now we got to say, okay, now we have a foundation, now that you have all this gunk drained out of you, we have got to replace it. Renewed means to renovate. It's taking out, but the key factor is putting in. I got to start putting stuff in now, okay? I got to start putting in these things at a high volume. As I do it, based on my skill level and practice it, I'll grow more and more, and I got to do it for long periods of time. You've had a certain thought process for years and years and years. Yes, in a moment, or maybe over a week or two, you have been made free in Christ over those sins. Praise the Lord. Now it's just beginning. Here's what's happening too. I mean this in the most loving, kind way. Many times people will be in church holding on to a sin for years and years and years and years, and they have done a good job in their thought process on acting the part and doing things in the flesh. To where now, once their actual mature level is back here, but they've been doing things for so long, they think they're here, but it's false. Because in the flesh. Now we've made them free from the sin they've had years ago, right? This is where we have to start. This is where we have to get them to understand, listen, I know that you have been practicing coming to church, reading your Bible, doing all these things, that's great, but you did it while you were living in sin. That's why you're still young in the Lord. You have been living in sin. And what I mean by that, young in the Lord, is they look the part practically coming to church events, reading their Bible, being faithful at church, saying some church lingo. But I think deep down, each one of us knows when we're around people like that, something's off. Something's off, right? To where when they finally yield to the Lord, they say, okay, Lord, this is my sin. I'm confessing it to you. I acknowledge it. Forgive me. I want to commit my life to you now, moving forward. Now it's reset to here. But for years and years and years, they've practiced this in their mind. We have now got to help them understand we have to go back to where you left off years ago, back to square one, and do it now. Do the same things that you kind of were doing, but with the right heart. Now you'll see spiritual growth. Now you'll see it. Does it, that make sense what I'm saying? Go ahead, Joe.
That seems like it really ties in with the submit to God and then resist sin idea. Because before you are working out your spiritual maturity, you first have to be in submission. In the same kind of respect, you have to be, you know, with the right heart. Otherwise, it's fruitless.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And to clarify, there are things that people are ignorant of that they're in sin on. I'm not saying that. I think that that stuff, as they grow, will be revealed to them, and they'll confess it and move on. I'm talking about things they know they're doing. They know they're sinning in. They know, but they're holding on to it and trying to live out the Christian life. So they're developing all these thought patterns, these habits that look good, but there's no growth. Right? They're still young. They're still babes in Christ. Okay? If to start back here, okay, take every thought captive. And if they're humble, they'll say, you got it. Not, I already know this. Okay, you can't be proud, my man, or my woman. Okay, yes, you know intellectually, but you haven't been practicing it for X amount of years. You've been living in sin. You now have to say, okay, I'm going to humble myself and say, okay, I'm going to take every thought captive. And go through the whole process of submitting, yielding, drawing nigh, investing in others, okay, putting a lot more volume in this the right way with the right heart, skill, practice the right way and time, right? You got to put a lot of time. Listen, and when I say time, I want to really to clarify. If I only have 20 minutes of a Bible study in the morning, or I have 20 minutes to be in my Bible to read, it doesn't stop there. I take what I've read, or how the Lord spoke to my heart, and now I think on it throughout the day. I'm giving it more time still. So time isn't in a setting in the morning or at night. It's not a set time to do something. It's consuming me. I'm not concerned with, you know, reading your whole Bible in a year or twice in a year. That would be cool. It's great. I'm more concerned about, hey, what you've read, do you understand what you're reading? If you notice, the letters to the churches are very, very small and very, very specific. Okay? When those letters are written to the churches at that time with what they're going through, better already. I gotta get this context in here. This is killing me right now. They're not saying start in Genesis, go through the Pentateuch, go through the major and minor prophets, and it'll help you with this. No, they cherry pick the prophetic verses mainly on Jesus Christ, right? Yeah, I'm going to put a lot of volume in a low skill level in lots of time on proving Jesus Christ is the Messiah. See how Paul did that? And Peter does that stuff? They're going over and over and over on a handful of basic things, right? So, because it's a lifestyle change, right? I'm saved, I'm secure, I know who I am in Christ, my value, my significance, my purpose. It's going to go over and over and over. I'm going to put a lot of time into those things. I'm going to put a lot of time not in actually maybe going somewhere. The church that I went to, I got out of the military, or I was still in the military, but I came back from Iraq. I started going to church until I was 20. It was, you were a mature believer. If you went to, number one, if you went to church every time the doors were open. You were mature if you went to church every time the doors were open. You were mature if you wore a suit to church. You were mature if you read your Bible every day, starting with Proverbs. You were mature if you tithed. And you were mature if, there's five. I can't remember the fifth one. Probably so bad I blacked it out. Anyways. A lot of time in doing something, being somewhere, like Dennis always says, checking off the box. But nothing about who I am, the love of God, the richness of Christ, the understanding of the Lord, right? The beautiful things. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Okay. How do I maintain a victorious Christian life? How do I help someone maintain that stuff? Take every thought captive. The battle is right here. Battle's here. On my thought processes, how I go through my values. When I read my Bible, I read it through my values sometimes. As I mature and my skill level goes higher and higher, I understand context. I understand who the right audience is. I don't always go me first, me first, me first, me first. Right? It's them first. How does it apply? That's a skill to do that. That takes skill. How many of us, since we've started coming to church here, read the Bible differently now? Read the Bible different. A lot of us, right? Because your skill level went up. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. And to encourage you, it's not about why didn't know this before, because everyone goes through that phase. I see it all the time. I went through it. People will say, this is great. This is awesome. For a period of time, and then they go, now why wasn't I taught this before? I can't believe this. Them and they. Now I start, maybe got to watch it before I get bitter and resentful. That can happen too. Nope. They did a good job with teaching what they knew. They loved the Lord, but they taught at their skill level. I'm not saying I have a high skill level. What I'm saying is I want to progressively get higher and higher. I want to have more volume. I am practicing higher and higher skills, okay? I'm putting more and more time into it. More and more condensed quality time where it's just consuming my mind while I'm driving, thinking about it. Okay, as someone's talking to me, I'm praying about what I just learned. Okay, Lord, this is your child. They're going through this. I need you to use me, Lord, to help them. I know you know that, God. Can you help me, Pastor Jesse? Glad you asked that, because I'm not going to tell them this, but as you were talking and I was praying, this came into my mind. What are your guys' thoughts on this? What are your thoughts?
I need a lot more volume.
So, here's my thought. Oh, was that a question? Did Rachel ask a question?
Okay. A lot more volume on what specifically?
Everything.
You've got to be more specific. That's too general. You won't do it.
Okay. I need to be in the Bible more. I need to be praying more. I need to keep my mind on Him more. I need to be at church more often and around people that are like me. And I need to grow in my skill while I'm doing all of those.
Okay. When you say more, mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
That means to me every day, no matter what time of day it is. Mm-hmm. That means waking up and getting my mind on Him so that I can do all of those.
You guys ready? Rachel, can I use you?
Sure.
All right. You said more. Let's do more. How much Bible are you in right now? Give me a time.
Probably every other day, about 20 minutes.
Every other 20 minutes.
About every other day. And that's not always.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do every day, 10 mm-hmm. minutes.
Okay.
Every day. Every day, 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. So I have a question about
that. Go ahead, Joe.
So when you think about applying volume to the Bible, mm-hmm. Your average thought about that would just be, it doesn't matter what you're reading necessarily, just pick, open up your Bible and read.
Oh no, it has to be specific.
That's what I was
yep.
going to ask.
So about. Great question. I didn't clarify. This is teaching this way. This is kind of new to me still. So what I mean by that is we're going to be specific, because in the whole lesson of spiritual warfare, how to maintain a victorious Christian life, I'm going to go to like Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, 1st or 2nd Peter. I'm going to go in those books, right? So now we're just, boom, a lot of volume in one area.
So to continue that thought.
Yep.
Now, is that specifically just reading the Bible, or can that be reading and understanding the Bible?
Mm-hmm. Yep, so I'm going to focus on, with Rachel as the example, every day, reading, and then meditation.
Because now, meditation and prayer, those are kind of one, right?
I would say meditation is going to be more focused on what I read.
Okay.
You have to give thought to what I read that morning, or if you're a night person. If you can get 10 minutes at night, what I would suggest is you read, write down the thought that's coming to your mind.
Okay.
Don't worry about if it's right or wrong. Don't worry about right, wrong, what it means. Just say, hey, I read for 10 minutes, this is what I got out of it, and you write that down. Now, that what you wrote down when you wake up, because you don't have time to do that, because that's why you do it at night, you take what you wrote down and read what you got. It will spark what you read.
Okay.
Now I'm taking that thought that I wrote down, I'm going to go over it in my mind. What I used to do, I had a 3x5 card in my pocket. I'm a hands in the pocket guy. So for me, when my hand goes in my pocket, I touch that card, my mind went to that thought. Some people like to tape or pin up notes around their house, I'm all for that also, right? I gotta start practicing this. Once I start practicing having what I read in my mind through different hacks or whatever, I'll start doing without those hacks. I won't need them, you know? So volume, yes, specifically 10 minutes a day, and then write down what you got out of it, or write down a verse you like. If you read and go, I got nothing. Write down a verse that you thought was cool.
Okay.
Or a verse you think might help you. Okay. Now I'm going to think about that all day, high volume.
Okay.
With just what I know. Don't worry about trying to figure it out. Just what it means to me, right? And I'm going to do that all day.
That actually breaks down pretty simple. I can do that.
Okay. Now, it went from... My Bible's not a good example. Let me see your Bible.
You sure it's stuff full of papers?
Exactly. It went from, wow, this is a lot. Mm-hmm. I have a lot to do. To doing more. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
Cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of why I brought it up, because I think a lot of people, when they think about reading their Bible, it becomes repetitious or monotonous. Because as great as the Bible is, it is still just words on paper. And if you're not reading it with the right mindset, or even with the right, I guess, practices, it can really come across as just, you can tune out and just kind of read and not actually be reading, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a modern word we're used is overwhelmed.
Sure, yeah.
The unexperienced, lower skill level is just feels overwhelmed. And you go, bing, right? Now, can the Holy Spirit teach them things and move them? Absolutely. But the Holy Spirit, here's the thing too about gifts. If the Holy Spirit would taught everyone the same way, there would be no gift of teaching. There is a gift of teaching to be used to teach God's body. So that the learners... Saints, in Ephesians chapter 4, the equipping of the body, he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers to equip the saints. Right? Okay.
Jesse?
Sir?
I would kind of want to go back to, you know, the volume, reading the Bible.
Let's do it.
Sometimes when we get the idea of I need to read a lot of the Bible, it loses its purpose while you're doing it.
That's a good point.
We need to make sure we're not doing it just to check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at too.
Yep. And that's an excellent point, because we can find the why and help them, because Ephesians tells us why. Colossians tells us why in the letter. Paul does it for us, right? That's very specific. That's actually a good point, Dennis. Thank you for bringing that up. Yep, we have to have our why.
And that kind of ties back into the beginning, too, of not just the why part, but like the last 5 minutes of what you were talking about, kind of ties back into mastering the basics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like not being overwhelmed, simplify it down.
Yep. Because when I know the basics, I always go there. When something happens, I always go through with who I am in Christ. Always, or if I'm being tempted, I'll go to Romans 6. That's never changed the last 13 years. It's just a practice. Romans 6 when I'm tempted. Circumstance happening, okay, this is who I am in Christ. I automatically know that all things work together for good to them who love God upon his purpose. I already know Romans 5, that patience leads to endurance, leads to hope, that's not ashamed. Okay, I'm good to go. I understand these things. Okay? All right. How does this fit in with what Scripture is teaching me? Right? But then that thought process for 13 years now. And I want to do more. I'm content, but I'm not satisfied. All right. Other questions? Good job, Rachel. Excellent. Did that answer some of your questions or thoughts, Rachel, for you?
Yeah.
Julie, what was your thought?
Well, same thing that Dennis and Joe brought up is that when you're working with people and then they get overwhelmed and then they bog down and then they give up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really like this approach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same, to piggyback off that idea. I like it a lot because it, going back to mastering the basics seems like it will actually result in mature believers rather than pseudo-intellectual theologians.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that a lot because that's something I've noticed the danger in myself in, is just approaching theology from the intellectual pursuit of it, the logistics of it, the hows and whys, and how deep can you go into Scripture? But it's like, that doesn't really matter. What really matters is, are you following the Scriptures, the ones that are relevant to us today, and are you doing so to please the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you start doing that, you look at things and you go, oh, I'm not edifying the body. I'm not serving others in love. I'm not witnessing Christ to people. I'm just sitting here talking about random verses and what they mean, and it really doesn't accomplish anything. And so I think that's not maturity, and I think we all know that, but a lot of people start to confuse that with maturity, and I think going back to the basics like that really does end up producing a mature believer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like that for that reason.
Excellent. I chose three different words, but I used my counseling approach. I chose some different words, but I used my counseling approach. Mm-hmm. So, with that being said, counseling is just discipleship. We say counseling, it's just discipleship, it's all it is. It's figuring out what's going on, why it's happening, helping them get out of it if they want it. Any other thoughts on this? I mean, did that come out pretty clear?
Yes.
Understandable?
Doable,
yep. Mm-hmm. And I would say, when you read your Bible now, specifically in maybe just Paul's letters, we'll just keep it down to those, and I'll let you go more specific. The more specific we are, the higher the percentage of something getting done. Okay, the more specific we are, the higher the chances of it getting done. You know, and see how I broke that down with you? I just need to do all of it. Okay, what is all of it? Like, that's you'll never get anything done. You'll always be overwhelmed spinning. Like, I'm not doing enough, I need to do more. Yeah, hello. I mean, we could all say that. I could say that about myself, right?
Yeah.
But if I want to accomplish something, I got to go so far down to where I'll actually do it, right? I'll actually do it. I got to go so far down, 10 minutes a day.
I think you might have actually found my wall. I've been searching.
Well, the Lord did. He gave you the light through the teaching.
Well, I love reading the Bible. When I get into it, it actually, it's I don't know, it feels good while I'm reading it, but I'll find I'll go a week or two without reading it. It's like I run into this wall where I'm like self-sabotaging and I could never figure out why. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I was overwhelmed.
Yeah. Oh yeah, a lot. I mean, I know I use this example a lot, but for one person to read their Bible, you know, they weren't reading it at all. I said, okay, I have my Bible on my desk, and I slid it in front of them, and I said, okay, when you see this, what do you see? All the pastors that hurt me, and they went into all the details and the bad things I've ever done to that person. And I go, well, yeah, I wouldn't read the Bible either if that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Right? So now the prescription is forgiveness, because they're bitter and resentful towards those people that those men in authority forgave them, helped them with their walk with the Lord. Now it's approachable. Now when I see this, I don't see those that abused it. See what trauma does? Satan's smart. He's not stupid. But Christ is even smarter. So once that forgiveness was restored or forgiven, that fellowship with the Lord was restored, now they're in their Bible. Yeah.
And you said specific. To start in the New Testament, or you wanted to...
More specific than that. When you say New Testament, what does that mean to you?
That just means where it's cut off in the Bible and says New Testament. So, but you're talking
and
about...
Four of those books are mainly Old Testament.
Yeah, that's what you're... So like Ephesians and Colossians and about the churches. Mm-hmm.
Paul's,
okay.
If I would go into those, right? What I usually do is have someone go through one of those books... And I have them write down every verse that says, in Christ, of Christ. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay, see, that's the counseling thing that I do.
Yeah.
In whom, of whom, and then they write that verse down, and I have them say a thank you prayer. Lord, I thank you, because in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, I am in heaven with you. In Christ, Lord, you said that I have all the blessings of heaven, or I might be quoting it wrong, but you go down your, you know, in Christ list, that's my position. That's who I am. Not my career, not my job, not, like, not what anybody thinks about me. This is what Christ thinks about me. So, you know, salvation is so beautiful, and it gets more and more beautiful the deeper I do go. And what actually is coming of salvation. Like, what actually I have. That's not just getting out of hell. That's like the most pilly thing. The more you grow, the more volume, skill, and time you put into it, the more and more you see. It almost becomes to where it's so wonderful and great that even if all I have was Christ now and I still went to hell afterwards, it would be worth it. Now, that's not true. That's not true. But the deeper you go and you see the richness that's in Christ, the more you're like, holy smokes, this is amazing. This is wonderful. This is what I have. This is who I am. If this is who I am, this is how God views me. That's all I care about. I don't care about, you know, I don't have any social media, but I deal with a lot of our Wolfpack kids. On the internet, call them internet trolls, people that talk bad about you, or I might maybe use that term wrong, I don't even know. But, you know, there's a lot of social media where a lot of negative things are being done. Well, there, if my mind is a lot at my skill level, not understanding it's them, not me, and I'm putting a lot of time into what people are saying negative, my behavior is going to reflect what I'm focused on. Right? News, bad, you know, God's judgment, God's wrath. How about we go back to who we are in Christ and look at God's blessings in heaven, mm-hmm. Right? Anyway, that's just me. Any other thoughts? Nothing? Any questions? All right. On another note, so... Kind of a different, some different topics. So I have an idea for another Tuesday night Bible study, but I want to kind of get some of your thoughts. What are some of your thoughts on a Tuesday night Bible study? Anything. Give me anything you want. Somebody even care?
We were talking about doing evangelism next, right?
Evangelism? Okay. We do that.
Mm-hmm. Four Gospels.
The Gospels? They like Latin of Christ and Harmony or something? Like Harmony of the Gospels? Or just go through all of them?
Yeah.
Harmony? Okay. Anything else?
The dig it deep into when he says, love your neighbor.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, just think, who is your neighbor? Is it just the person next door? Or is it, why is that definition?
Yeah, it's excellent.
Or something, you know, just something in that sense, because you, I was thinking the other day, or sometimes we're, you know, people can be difficult, you know, and so when God says to love one another, or love your brother, or if you do this, you can be a murderer, but I think it just goes into, because he knows us so well, that he knows it's hard for us to always get along with each other. So I think that's something that's just in there when he says love your brother and love one another, how, you know, that extent of that.
That's mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good, because one thing we have to look at too is, does that love your brother as yourself or love your neighbor as yourself, does that change from Old Testament to New Testament? Right? That'd be a good thing to look at also. Does it stay the same or does it change?
Jesse, I was, based on what Regina said, that would be really worthwhile, I think, is to go through all of Jesus' sayings and see how they apply in our world as believers, New Testament believers.
I actually like that, especially the way the world is nowadays. It applies to even in your own family.
It's had an epiphany. Man, my head hurts. What if we did? I'm sure I'll have a look. It's an idea right now. But what if we did Dennis's idea of harmony of Christ's teachings, of Christ's sayings? So instead of just going through the whole harmony of the Gospels, it's just the harmony of what Christ taught.
That might be really handy for a coming evangelism study too, because if you're working with new believers, you and I talked about that a little bit last Sunday, about where you start like somebody who doesn't know Christ in terms of like where to read the Bible. Do you start them with the Gospels, or do you start them with, you know, the New Testament, mm-hmm. or where do you start them?
Yeah.
I think having that might be really handy, because then you can explain to them how those things apply in terms of modern day believers rather than people who would have still been under the law when Christ said those things.
Yep. Yeah. That would be cool. Harmony of Christ's sayings. Harmony of Christ's teachings. How would we word that?
Harmony of Christ's teachings.
Harmony of Christ's teachings? Okay. I've never actually done that before. It's going to be fun. Get ready, Jesse's brain, for some high volume, higher skill, and more time on Harmony of Christ's teachings. All right. Awesome stuff, guys. Really good study on spiritual warfare. And when you read the Bible from that perspective, I know we just did one book, I believe, just going through Acts and how now seeing spiritual warfare. We should have kind of a better grasp of what it is, what it's not, how spiritual warfare hinders believers today, saved or unsaved, right? And kind of how we can set people free of spiritual warfare when it's through a sin. And then now, after today, how to help someone, even myself, maintain a victorious Christian life, right? And it starts, number one, taking every thought captive, because that's where Satan's going to try and get in. Lie to you about God, others, and yourself. It'll always start there. It'll always start there. If you can control your thoughts, okay, and start getting to wrong teaching and wrong thoughts on lies, your behavior will reflect a lie and not a truth, all right? Excellent. Dave, ready to pray for us?
Father, thank you so much for clear teaching, for how to apply so many different concepts into to our lives so that we can be better at that, so that we can grow spiritually and everything, that we can be better at fellowship, and we can be just so much better in prayer, and we can confess our sins, and just help us to always do that, Father, to be diligent, to not take the short road, but to just really follow you in every aspect of our lives. I just ask that you keep us safe in doing that, that you keep us focused on you as you always do. We just ask this in your Son's most precious name. Amen.
Amen.